This next song is No One Can Touch You Like Jesus Can.
No one can touch you like Jesus can. No one can give you peace you cannot understand. No one can bind your wounds with nail-scarred hands. No one can touch you like Jesus can.
If you're lost and can't find your way, and there's no hope inside, just one touch of the Master's hand. Take what's wrong and make it right.
No one can touch you like Jesus can. Not understand. No one can bind your wounds with nail-scarred hands. No one can touch you like Jesus can.
How true it is, no one can touch you like Jesus can. We're glad to bring the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to those that receive it, whether it be on a foreign soil, be locally, or here in the studio today. We appreciate you, and our prayers be that God bless you and pour His anointing on you throughout this day. I want to look to the Word of God, and I want to minister today on a thought, the mind of God. Can we pray? Lord, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to come before your throne, God. And God, that we might lift up holy hands to you, Lord. And God, that we might drink from the fountain of living waters. Come and minister to us today. Let thou anointed hand, Lord, come and anoint the ears of those that receive this gospel. And as we speak it, let it be poured from the throne of God, is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. The Word of God tells us in 1 Corinthians in the 2nd chapter and in, let's see, let me find the verse, the 2nd chapter and verse 16. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he might instruct him, but we have the mind of Christ. Now, in the Word of God, we find that Job was a man that become before the Lord. And, you know, God asked him a statement. He said, Job, where were you when I created the heavens? Where were you? So we rightly understand that from everlasting to everlasting was God. God knows all things. Nothing is hid from God. But this mind of God, do we, as children of God, do we have the right to have the mind of God? The Bible says through Christ, we have the right to have the mind of Christ. Now, a lot of folks in this world today is stumbling around in their own mind. And I go as far to say a lot of folks are stumbling around in their own ignorance. And some folks, the ignorance has done blossom and has done went to seed. Because the things that they do and the way their life is and the turmoils. And plainly to understand, they don't have the mind of Christ. Because when we get the mind of Christ in our life is going to begin to build. And our life is going to be a life that is of peace. Our life is going to be a life that, well, they're going to be a battle. They're always going to be a battle. But I can go as far to say the turmoil. God comes in and says to the storm, peace be still. And we begin to have peace. We begin to have that peace that passes all understanding. And we have that through having the mind of Christ. And it don't just stop there. The Word of God, I'm going to back it with several scriptures today. The Word of God says in Romans, in the 11th chapter, and in verse 34, the Word says this. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor, or who has first given to him, and it shall be recompense unto him again. For of him and through him and to him all are all things. To him the glory forever. Amen. So the knowledge of God surpasses all understanding. You know, and we and ourselves, wisdom, the Bible tells us that if we get wisdom, we're to get knowledge. And where does all wisdom and where does all knowledge come from? It comes from the Lord. Man has accomplished great things. We have accomplished things in the computer world, in the electronic world, and even in our radio stations here. We was able several years ago, through a lot of work and study and time, we developed a system that was ahead of the rest of the country. And we had the first system ever developed that we can network and be here in this place, and we can network to as many other radio stations as we chose to, but just doing it through networking. We was told you were crazy. You'll never be able to accomplish this. Now today, it's a common thing. It's done and used on. That's the reason they had to change everything over to digital so they could network it. Well, we figured out a way to make this work with the help. Sandy worked on it for about 18 months along, and we worked on this thing. We worked on an idea how that we could take analog sound and how that we could transfer it, swap it out to digital, encode it to send it out and decode it to receive it and make this come back and play on everybody's radio. Even if they had analog radios, we swapped it to digital and transferred it back. That was a lost art. Nobody had done it. They said, you're crazy. It can't be done. They wanted to sell me machines that cost tens of thousands of dollars. They said, it may do what you want, but nobody can do what you're talking about doing. Where do we get the knowledge? We got it from the Lord. I got it from one quickened word from the Lord. We was running ourselves to death, running back and forth between three locations, trying to make it all go. And the Lord had said, broadcast the gospel to these counties and take it to the uttermost parts of the world. And I said, Lord, I'm stretched like that toy called stretched. I done stretched my arms as far as it could go, and I didn't have enough money to hire enough people to make it all work. And the Lord spoke to me and said, bring it all back here. Well, what does that mean? Well, all of a sudden, my mind opened up, and I seen a brand new studio, high-tech studio, a brand new money to build it with, didn't have a shiny dime to do it with. Got one company, one of the first companies to talk to about that didn't call me crazy, said we'd like to be involved in it. We'll put money up behind it. At that time, it cost about $150,000 plus the labor, and they was willing to put up $55,000 right off the start to help with the equipment. I said, thank you, Jesus. But I seen the thing. I seen it in a glimpse. How was I able to do that? It wasn't through my mind. I never learned nothing out of a textbook that told me that. Most textbooks need to be tucked in the bathroom and hung on the little rack in there. Where they used to have, you know, they done away with the Montgomery Ward catalog and the Sears catalog, and you always found them in the outhouse. They need to take most of the modern day textbooks and replace all those Sears and Rudd catalogs they don't make anymore and put them in the outhouse. Because they don't have the knowledge of God in them. They don't have any understanding. They try to say we evolved from a monkey or an ape. They try to teach evolution. They try to teach everything except teaching that we were born again by the Spirit of God. And they don't teach that we were spoken into existence because God created everything. They don't have the mind of Christ. And the Word, this book I read this morning, says any education system without God is no education system. You don't have squat if you don't have God. But the mind of Christ. But I got that glimpse, and today I speak, and this message here is being preached this morning in every country in the world. Why? Because I had that one little glimpse of the mind of Christ. He said I could. When man said I couldn't, he said I could. I'm glad I can hear his voice. I'm glad that we're able to get the mind of Christ. And we can see things that the carnal man can't see and the carnal mind can't see. And we can reach on out into the things that we need to accomplish and do. Now then, I'm not out on a limb on this because I got word to prove it. The Bible says in Romans, the 8th chapter, verse 26 and verse 27. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. I'm glad I got the Spirit of God. That's better than an acre of pain. That's a whole lot better than an acre of pain. That's a whole lot better than having an infirmity. Bible said many of the infirmities of the righteous, but the Lord does what? Delivereth them out of them all. We got the endurance. We got something to counteract it with. We got something to fight it with. I know, Brother Bobby, after your wreck, I'm sure there's a lot of times when you start to get up, the old man didn't want to get up. Flesh didn't want to get up. But you had something in you driving you, said, I got to keep going. I got to keep going. I got to keep going. And here today, you're almost, what, 97% recovered? And because you had that drive of the Spirit. Many of you, I can look around and see times Sandy written that song, Coming Out on Top. And we loaded her up in the bus and took her over in Kentucky and sang in a concert over there. Well, the flesh, it wasn't willing. I mean, it was not willing at all. But the Spirit was. And that song, if I lived to be 210 years old, if I for eternity, every time I hear that song, it'll lift my spirit. We're coming out on top. And also, we dropped the transmission, dropped the clutch out of the bus, and they sing that song, Coming Over Every Hill, because we had no clutch. We would hit a hill at 70 miles an hour, and it would coast all the way down to 12 miles an hour, and I'd just have to baby it to keep it from slipping and go all the way down into low gear with it, and we'd sing that song. If you've been to Pikeville, Kentucky, you'll know what I'm talking about. We'd come across every one of them mountains singing, I'm coming out on top. Pulled it in the parking lot. It had no clutch in it. I told some folks, I said, you don't see how powerful my God is? And he couldn't move that bus out of its tracks. Could not move it out of its tracks. I said, we're going to the next meeting in that bus. I said, we're not going to put a clutch in it till after the next meeting. We got a break between the next meeting and we going. And we climbed in that bus and it's just like that. And I babied the throttle just a little bit till I finally got it to leap forwards a little bit. And I just floated them gears back and forth. And we went over here off Interstate 81 and preached a crusade, tent crusade over there. And the guy that was over there, one of the ministers, he followed us all the way back home because he said, I don't think that bus will ever make it up that mountain in Austinsville. We come all the way down to about 5 miles an hour coming across the top of it, but I pulled it back in the parking lot and I said, now we'll put a clutch in it. Yeah. I'm glad. I'm glad that we got the Holy Ghost to see us through. I'm glad that when we're down, we can come out on top. I'm glad when we are crushed from every side, we can come out on top. I'm glad we have the Holy Ghost to fight within us. Likewise, the Spirit also helps us our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. Well, we don't even know how to pray a lot of times. No. We don't know what to say. But thank God we can have the Holy Ghost. Now, I know a lot of the nominal folks and a lot of folks that don't believe in Pentecost, they come up with every kind of thing and they say, well, all the folks want us to have a big party with hoop and jump and holler. Well, you can hoop and jump and holler. If I throw something down your toe, you'll hoop and hop and jump. You know, let me grab this mic stand here and pop it down across your toes and you'll be hopping and jumping. If all you got's a hop and a jump, you ain't got much. I'm sorry. If all you got's a shout, you don't have much. Anybody can shout. They shout at the ball game every Friday night. Don't take much to shout. But I'm going to tell you something. This Holy Ghost is more than just something to shout with. It's something to shout about. Amen. But the Spirit itself makes intercessions for us with groanings that cannot be understood. Now then, this is how that we have the mind of Christ. We enter into the Spirit. And our spirit is in communication with the Holy Ghost. And we're not even knowing how to pray or what to pray, but the Holy Ghost is coming out of us with groanings that man can't understand. They say, oh, that man's crazy. Look at him. He's just a little worker, doubled up into not groaning. All the time we groaning in the Spirit is making contact with our spirit, with God, and God is working out the things that we don't know how to work out. God's given us the power to climb the mountains we don't know how to climb. God's given us the stamina to trop on through when we don't even know what to do. Why? Because the Spirit in us is in contact with God's Spirit. And he that searcheth the heart knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit. I got a part two of this message take 2 hours and 45 minutes to preach. But they kind of want me to stay on part one today. But anyway, the part two, I'll use just a little thought or two out of it, if I can stretch just a few more minutes. But see here, the Spirit searches and it knows the mind of the Spirit because it maketh intercession for the saints according to the what? The will of God. So the Holy Ghost in our spirit is making intercession to God. And we're flowing now in the Spirit. Over in the first part of the 8th chapter, it begins to tell us a whole lot about the Spirit. And it tells us, for the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. See, if you let the carnal mind have control, he'd just want to party and have the things that please the flesh for the moment, and he just want to have a good time. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. This is verse 5. But they which are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Here kind of sums it up. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject unto the law of God, neither can it be. You know, sometimes I get impatient with folks that don't want the Lord or don't have the Lord. And I'm glad God put this verse of Scripture in the Word. This lets me know to back up and just take a breath, because they don't even know what you're talking about. You know, I mean, you feeling good, you praising the Lord, you talking about all the good things of God, and over there they cussing the blue streak. And you think, my land. Amen. And Brother Bobby was talking about that the other day. But see, those that don't have God, they don't have the mind of Christ. They don't know what we're feeling. They don't know what this thing is about. They're ramping and cussing and raving. And sometimes, I'm glad, Brother Bobby, we got this verse of Scripture. Because I don't know where I could cope with some of it. I'm kind of like you. I don't know how much more I could cope with it. But when I really read the Word of God, I have to back up and take a breath. Because they don't know. They don't know. Rapping, raving, cussing, whatever. I mean, they throwing their fit, they doing what? They don't know. Are they going to be excused? No. But bottom line, they don't know until they feel that touch. Because it says, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither can it be, until they allow Christ to come in their heart. And though they begin to take on the mind of Christ, they don't understand it. They don't understand what it's about. All they see is the gloom and the doom, and all they feel is the pain. So, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Verse 10 says, for if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Jesus from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. He goes on to tell us later on in that verse, and he says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. But he also reminds us to be carnally minded is to be death. I want to walk in the Spirit. I want to have the mind of Christ. I think it's important to have the mind of Christ. I think it's totally important to have the mind of Christ. Now, we have to watch and we have to make sure we've got to have, the Bible says, first of all, if we accomplish anything in God. And this scripture means a whole lot to me because I've seen the reality of it. In 2 Corinthians in the 8th chapter and verse 12 says, for if there be first a willing mind in him, it is acceptable to that of a man has and not according to that he has not. In other words, you can get over a lot of the hurdles, but just having a willing mind in you. There's a lot of things, like I said, when we started building this studio and networked all this together, we didn't know how to do it. But we were willing. You show me willing. Show me somebody willing. We just roofed the parsonage in the last 2 days, and Dale come and helped us and brought a whole bunch of folks with us, and they was all up there on the roof, and, you know, some of them didn't know how to roof. They didn't know nothing about it. But they had one thing all in common. They was willing. So 2 days later, we climbed down with the finished project, and it's beautiful, and it's as good as any. We were professionals, weren't we, Dale? But it's good as anybody could do. But, buddy, if we'd have had one there wasn't willing, boy, that would have been it'd been like a sore thumb. It's like that in church. It's like that in anything. You get somebody ain't willing. What do they say? You can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. You got to be willing. You got to be willing to let God take control in your life. He's not going to come and grab your mind up and say, all right, you, I'm going to take over your mind. If you get the mind of Christ working in your life, it's because you're willing to let him take control of your heart first. This is a process. It's got to go from the head knowledge to the heart knowledge, and then you got to go back to the center core of a man, which that mind becomes Christ-like, and it's no longer carnal. The carnal mind, I've already told you, according to the word of God, is enmity against God. It can't please God. It ain't even subject to God. You look around and wonder, why in the world ain't that guy getting it? He can't get it. He can't figure it out. Because he's walking it in the carnal mind. But when he or she gives up and lets Jesus take over, then God allows him to have the mind of Christ. When you get the mind of Christ, then God knows all things. He sees all things. Jesus Christ, he thought it not robbery to be equal with God. I mean, a lot of people get kind of all thrown out of joint. What are you trying to be like God? Well, sure. It's exactly. You finally figured it out. Whoa, you woke up and smelt the coffee. We're trying to be like God. That's what he said for us to do. We're not going to hide over there in the corner somewhere and, I'm afraid. And a lot of people actually, I believe, practice that. They're afraid this thing is going to hurt them. I know when we put the first gospel radio station on the air, I got calls and they said, you going to play this gospel 24/7? I said, yes, ma'am. I said, it won't hurt you. There's nothing in this book will hurt you. But unless you have a willing mind, it will be foolishness. The Bible said, by the foolishness of preaching, to the world, to the carnal mind, this whole thing is foolishness. Blah, 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 blah. It's foolishness. But those that are of Christ, the preaching of the cross, oh, glory to God. It's the power of God unto salvation. You can go to church every day and you can hear the cross preached. You can hear God supreme preached. You can hear the blood preached. You can hear all this message preached over and over and over and over again unto those which are saved by grace. It'll be the power of God unto salvation. It'll be more fuel on the fire. It'll be something going on. Connie Harper years ago sang that song, "There's Something Going On." There is something going on. It's God taking control in the challenge of our life. Amen. Now God warns us. He warns us not to be doubtful in mind. And he also warns us not to be double-minded. Because a double-minded man's unstable and he's to all of his ways. And the word said, let not that man think that he will receive anything from God. You got to be. As he said, let this mind be in you, which also was in Christ. They thought it running robbery to be equal with God. We can have the mind of Christ. We can have the power of God. And in closing, the Bible says in 2 Timothy in the first chapter in verse 7, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of what? Of sound mind. You said it. Of sound mind. We that are walking in the spirit, the world may think we're crazy, but we're not crazy. We know whom we have believed in. We have a sound mind. We don't come unraveled at every little thing that comes along. Every little wind and sound of doctrine, we don't fall for it. Because we got a sound mind. We have the mind of Christ. And we have the Spirit that's making intercession and community. He's the network system. Amen. And we're in continuous communication with God. And that's how we're just kind of stepping from mountaintop to mountaintops. That's how we're winning this thing. They asked Billy Graham several years ago, what was the ultimate plan of God? And they said to him, they said, Dr. Graham, don't you think right now it looks like that the kingdom of God is losing? And he said, well, to the carnal eye it might be, but he said, by the word of God, that God will triumph. I'm going to tell you something, when the devil thinks he's got Israel whipped, when he thinks he's got the children of God whipped, God's going to come forth and we're going to triumph. We're going to triumph with him. For 1,000 years we're going to rule and reign till the battle's over. And then we're going to be restored back to that new Jerusalem, that new heaven, that heaven coming down, and earth is going to be, according to the word of God, parked at the end of the golden streets of that city in a walkway, or be dropped down onto the earth as we see it, and it'll be restored back to the original garden which it was before man polluted it. For the Bible said all the elements of this earth will be burned up with a fervent heat. This is the mind of Christ. This is the mind of God. The mind of God tells me the redeemed is going to live forever. The mind of God tells me that we're overcomers. The mind of God tells me, keep the faith in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you for those listening today. Those that need a touch, those that need a miracle. Lord, I ask you in the name of Jesus, wherever they may be, whatever country, whatever mountainside, whatever town, whatever city, you know. And God, by your Spirit, by the Holy Ghost of God, let them take on Christ today. And in doing so, let them have the mind of Christ. Let them be overcomers in Jesus' name. Heal, deliver, set free as our prayer in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen and amen and amen. And everybody said, praise the Lord.